guys, there's been so much been going on. I need to get caught up, and I apologize for my absence. So I've been really going through quite a bit of stuff here. So I'm going to try to address this today. On today's show, Genie in a Bottle. That is the focus of this edition of Expressions. Everybody, and welcome to this edition of Expressions. I'm your host, Sierra Tavares Reyes. On today's topic, Genie in a Bottle. All right, so I've been really busy as usual and holding on to a lot of stuff. There's a lot to get to. I'm gonna try to get to all of this as much as I can. I finally got some time to do it. So let's start off with the first thing here. So the first thing first, Tony's best friend, I won't say his name because I know he listens to this podcast, but I'm sure that he'll hear it at some point. Basically, there was a time that I was told that I had to move because the apartment was going to go into an abatement and, things were not going to go well or whatever. But we had a previous manager, landlord, who has been fired, and they changed management again, probably for the fifth time. So there's a new lady there, and so just trying to iron the kinks out of that. And then, he tells me that, or he tells Tony that, that I'm a lot of drama and that I make a lot of, I cause a lot of problems in the neighborhood and all this other stuff. And you hearing about somebody saying that they have to move or whatever, you're going to be like more sympathetic, more empathetic. You're not going to sit here and say, oh, well, they got to move because of you being a drama queen and all this other stuff. And I go around here picking on people, because I already know that this guy was a perp from the beginning. He's been letting me know, and that's cool. And if I'm so much drama, then I just block you from TikTok. And, I can't block you from YouTube because I don't know what your name is and really don't care. But it's like, I'm not going to sit around here and be targeted and then be silent. And that's exactly what the deep state wants. And he made it very clear that he's part of the deep state, okay? That he's a perpetrator working for them, because he just comes out of nowhere, And I was really, really cold cocked by that move, by that gesture. That really hurt me a lot because I just couldn't believe it. And I thought we were better than that. I thought you were cool. I thought you were down. You donated to my podcast one time, and I thought we had a great relationship in that aspect. But it turns out that you're a perpetrator, just like I had already suspected. And that's cool. That's totally fine. Now he's gonna come over here September 8th, and everything. And him and Tony are gonna go out, and probably drink, go chase women or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what his plan is on doing, and I really don't really care. So he's supposed to be getting a hotel. Then he said he was gonna come and stay at, at Tony's place or whatever. I'm like, okay. I don't know why he just doesn't get a hotel, I don't need to be seen. I don't need all that exposure because it's like, both of these people, they hate women. I don't know what it is. Tony hates women and so does he. And it's just like, I don't need people in my life. I don't understand how people can say something negative about somebody else. You hate women, just avoid women. Don't get with them. Don't sleep with them. Don't do anything. You're misogynist. That's totally fine. I don't have a problem with that. I stick to my damn self. I don't date. I don't get out there in the dating world. I don't mess with people. If I hated men, I'm just not going to date them. I'm not going to do anything. I say to myself. So I don't let people in my life that I don't know anything about. And people are coming after me talking about, oh, well, everybody needs somebody, Sierra. You need to be happy with a man. I'm like, girl, I don't need shit. I don't need a man for that, okay? I'm not going on dating websites and chat lines and all that other stuff. I don't have time for that because you know why? It keeps the bad people out of my life. It keeps it. I feel more protected if I don't get involved with people. So it's like right now, it's just in the imagination, right? That's all I have, and that's where I'm gonna stay because I'm just too scared to let anybody get in my life like that, because I know that if I do, it's going to be another Romeo trap. It's going to be another setup. So it's like, why have somebody get involved with me and make me fall for them and then turn out their perp, you know? And this can happen if you're not even a target individual. So, but I'm just not going to get involved that way. But I'm tired of people telling me what I need to have, or I'm supposed to have a man. It's like, you know, a man is just going to try to control me. He's going to, you know, I like my freedom. Okay. I don't have to worry about somebody I'm trying to impress that don't give a fuck about me. I don't have to worry about none of that mess. You know, I just go on with my life and I do what I want to do when I want to do it. So on and so forth. I don't need any taming. So I can wear what I want to wear, do my hair what I want to, the way I want to do it, do my makeup the way I want to do it, or whatever. I don't have to worry about being unused and unappreciated. So, but yeah, that was a low blow. That really, really affected me, because I thought we were better than that. But again, you know, he said that they're alike, and he was not joking. He said they're two peas in a pod. So I just have to go with that. But that really hurt. That really did. Because it's like people keep saying, oh, why don't you trust anybody, Sierra? Well, this is the reason why. Look how people do. You know, people are just going to be your friend and then they're going to turn on you. That is the MO, folks. I've dealt with that even before I realized that I was even targeted. So it just keeps on happening. So you just stay to yourself. You don't make friends. I deal with people virtually. I don't have to deal with a person in person trying to get all close to me and all that other stuff, because I like I said, I know that it's not genuine. It's not sincere. And people are going to act one way, nice and friendly, to reel you in. And then they're going to be stabbing you in the back the whole time. I had that with another friend of mine. And I am not going to continue to fall for that shit. I'm so sorry. So, not going to happen. But anywho, moving on from that. So, got him out of the way. And then Tony ran into this woman who he did not know. And they were talking in the hallway. She says, wait right here. I'll be back. I'm just going to go upstairs. And he actually sat there and waited for her to come back down, and she never came back down. I'm like, boy, what is wrong with you? You don't sit over here and wait for this woman. You don't know this woman. You don't know if she's got a boyfriend, a husband, you know, somebody that might be crazy or whatever. You know, you just don't know. She could have lied and told him some shit about you or whatever, and got you into some kind of trouble or something. Because one of the things that I'm noticing is that I think they're trying to, they want us, you know, separated. So I guess they're planning on trying to harm me or do something to me or take me out or whatever, because, you know, that's the whole point of the program. They want to isolate the target. So, you know, there will be no witnesses to anything. That's the whole point, you know. And Tony's free to date whoever he wants to date. But that's fine. I don't really care less. They can do whatever they want to do, because him and I are over. We dated for about 4 years. And then now we're just, you know, we're just friends, just like I'm going to do what I want to do, but which is pretty much nothing. But you get the point of what I'm trying to say. And so, yeah, I was just like, I got on his case, and I was like, I said, you need to stop that. But this boy thinks that just because somebody's being nice to you, that doesn't mean that they always have good intentions. People are nice and backstabbing, but he doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see it, and he gets caught up in that web, and then bad things happen. It's like, you know, I'm the one that has to take care of you. I'm the one that goes to your house and helps you with this and helps you with that. I'm the one that has to take care of you, you know? So if I didn't have to take care of you, then I wouldn't care what the hell that you would do. You're not, you know, he can't really function on his own. So that is why I'm here. I'm trying to take care and be the protector, because when everybody else turned their back on you, I'm the one that opened my door to you. I'm the one that helped you through, you know, because everybody else was like, just threw you away. And I stood by you all this time. And so you owe me that much respect. So like I said, this is not about me being in control, but it's like, you know, I'm helping you. These other people are not going to give a shit about you. They're not going to help you. I'm the only one that came to your rescue, you know. When you were sitting here, landed in a damn alley, passed out and everything, I'm the one that had your back through all of that, you know? So, but But anyway, he just doesn't get it. He will never understand. He will never get it. So I'm just done with, like I said, a lot of stuff in my life. And I'm just, like I said, for me, I just need, like I said, no more dating. That's something that is obsolete. I don't care if people get mad because I'm saying that, but nope. And then some guy on YouTube asked me out on a date, and I'm like, are you perping me? I was like, I just laughed it off uncomfortably because it's like, I didn't want to be rude because if I knew, I don't want to like snout, but that was just so random. And he was so full of shit. He was just trying to get a reaction. Obviously he was a perp because they know I'm not dating anybody. I'm not going to be even looking to try to do anything with anybody. I'm not looking for that. Okay. It's like, I'm not going to let people or anyone for that matter ever get close to me again, because I know that if I do, it'll be just something that'll be set up. It'll be something that will end up on the dark web some damn where. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
I know time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock takes life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on to, didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far.
Okay, so we're back. So yeah, dealing with that. I'm still trying to find a job. That's extremely difficult. Still trying to figure out, you know, what I want to do in life and everything. And I know, like I said, one of the things, major things I want to do is leave America. Leave America behind. Probably one of the best things that I'll probably do. Hopefully, if this happens. They just renewed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act until 2025. And I'm like, oh my gosh. First, they blocked it. I was really ecstatic about that, and I thought it was not going to be renewed, and these mofos renewed it, you know. I'm just like, wow. I said, yeah, this is going to continue the organized contract stalking. I don't know why they just don't take Americans' names out of this, you know. It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, not the Domestic Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA, not the DISA. But who knows? I don't know. So, I mean, you know, even if they did, you know, even if this made it hard for them, it's just like the damage is done. The damage is done when you are a targeted individual. You know, you're not allowed to do certain things. You're not allowed to be emotional on camera. You can't cry on camera. You can't get angry, you know, because people have already called us crazy. They've already called us schizophrenic, all that other stuff. And it's just like, you know, that's something that probably is just going to make it worse. So I have to like, you know, be strong and have to be tough. You know, because you cannot show weakness. Don't let these people see you sweat, because that's what they want. They see weakness, and they see you being frail and breaking down. It's like that's the stuff that they love to see, you know. So you don't give them that, you know. But yeah, I'm still fighting this organized contract stalking, still under police surveillance, still same old, same old. And my harassment protocol is very simple. It is organized around the time I take my dog out, because every time I'm by myself, as soon as I bring the dog in, you know, I still see perps walking around, but not as many as I did before, you know. So every time I have my dog with me, it's like extra points. So I don't even remember what my contract stalking looked like before I even got my dog. So, but yeah. Still doing that. I did also, I got a live TikTok ban. So there were some things about organized contract stalking that I was revealing. And they were like, oh no, we got to get her out of here. So got that ban, live TikTok ban. Still have TikTok, but just trying to utilize other social media platforms, particularly Rumble. Because I know that's like YouTube and my Substack. And everything, just trying to, you know, find other places. Don't be so reliant on TikTok. They're probably going to take it away anyway. Who knows what's going to happen? They're going to see a lot of lawsuits. But a lot of people are sitting here talking about, oh, yeah, that TikTok is freedom of speech. I'm like, it's not freedom of speech. I mean, there's certain words you can't say on there. You can't talk about, you know, sexuality. You can't talk about politics, you know, religion, the whole nine. It's like, no, you know, they just, that over moderation is just absolutely insane, you know. So it, I wouldn't call that free speech at all, you know, but a lot of people are saying that. So I wish Elon Musk could buy TikTok. But some people don't want that. They said, oh, he ruined Twitter. How did he ruin Twitter? Why are people so afraid of free speech? What happened? Oh, because he called it X because he changed the name of it? Like, he, you know, he's letting people know that, hey, free speech still does exist. So I don't know why people don't like Twitter anymore. Like, I don't understand that, you know? People like to be, you know, follow the government and do what the government tells you to do. And I don't know what he ruined. I really don't know what, other than changing the name, what exactly did he ruin? You know, everybody wants this, you know, one person type of opinion and everybody to go with this one opinion. Like, what's up with that? So I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me. But I do use Twitter X. So sometimes I do. But Rumble is the platform I'm going to be trying to build up and just really, really being able to talk about a lot of things. I mean, there's so much I want to talk about, but I can't talk about it on certain platforms because due to the sensitive ears of the rest of the world. But there is a personal trauma story that I wanted to talk about that I can't talk about openly. And I've been wanting to talk about it for quite some time, but I just haven't been able to. Like I said, this free speech thing is just, it's crazy. And this is why, like I said, more motivation to want to leave this damn country, because they're not allowing free speech. And this is an American value, right? What happened to it? You know, we need to get free speech back. This is crazy. And people are like, oh, why don't you just stay and fight? It doesn't matter, you know, who's in the office. Presidents are not elected. They are selected by the elite. You know, yes, you vote and all that other stuff, but it really doesn't make a difference. That's not how it works. You know, I have not voted since Obama, and I'm like, they put who they want in there. We are living under the illusion that we have power when we actually don't. Okay? So that's not how it works. Once you get older, you start to see how things start to work, folks. You really start to see how life really is and what actually happens, but it doesn't work that way, the way that we think that it does. So, yeah. So, yeah, I've just been dealing with that. Then my sister calls me and tells me that, you know, they're targeted. And this is what really is so traumatizing for me, is that they, she told me about two Hispanic males were in a white vehicle surrounding her, and they were, I guess, trying to go after her, kidnap her or something. I don't know. It was scary that she mentioned that to me. And I was like, you make sure you're careful out there, you know, and she's by herself and all of that. And you got to be very, very careful. But yeah, she and my niece, her daughter, and my other sister, they're targeted. They don't believe it. I got two nephews. I'm not sure if they're targeted or not. I'm sure one of them is involved. I don't know about the other one, but yeah, it's just, I know that they're targeted. So that's kind of, I talk to them every day, and I just worry about their safety and all the stuff, people giving them direct conversation. My niece told me somebody walked up behind her and her baby, and they were saying, hey, how you doing? And mentioned my niece's, my great niece's name. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, these people are, you know, trying to get your attention. Y'all better be careful. You really need to be very, very careful. Not to be hypervigilant, but just, you know, it's one thing that I'm targeted, but I hate when I hear about my own family going through this exact same thing. You know, it's more bothersome to me, because it's like, for one, it's like they don't believe that they're targeted. That's the thing. They're in denial about this, you know, despite everything. I don't know what else to say, you know. And yes, the deep state does target your family. Your whole family is targeted, but some of them might be informants as well. So I'm just trying to let them know that they are, but they don't see it. They just have to wake up. It's like they got to keep seeing the same patterns of harassment, just like I see the same patterns of harassment. And I don't want this for my family, but I know, just based on what I keep hearing, it's like they just keep dismissing it. Oh, no, it's not that. And my sister goes, oh, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And I'm like, well, okay, there's lots of people that are targeted that believe in God. So that's not going to make you immune, you know, to that. And I don't want this to happen, but I'm just, you know, I need her to be a little bit more, just pay attention to patterns of harassment, the same thing. You know, you get on the road and you're driving and someone's doing the same thing and boxing you in. But it's just, I guess, for them, like I said, with the organized contract stalking, it, you know, the one thing that they do is patterns. They repeat the same stuff over and over and over and over, you know. So I have to let them learn on their own. So I can't push it their way or make them believe, you know, they have to see it for themselves. And so, meanwhile, my uncle is sick. He got the jab, and then he's having some blood clots, one particularly in his abdomen. And he's been in and out of the hospital, and now he's on hospice. So I'm kind of dealing with that because I already had a death in my family previously. And this is just kind of a lot to go through right now, folks. People don't know what I'm going through, and it's tough. It's very, very tough on me, you know, and have another uncle who I resent for ruining my life and the rest of my family, dealing with a lot of stuff. And he just has no sympathy, no empathy, no nothing. He just doesn't care. He doesn't feel bad. So all the good people are being wiped out and all the bad people flourish. We'll be right back.
She was more like a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who would dance on the floor and around. She said, I am the one who would dance on the floor and around. She told me her name was Billie Jean, and she crossed the scene. Then heavy head turned with the ice to dream.
So we're back. So yeah, he has no guilt, no remorse. He doesn't feel bad about anything. And I also believe that they've recruited him as well. He's given me a couple of directed conversations and everything. You know, this is your brother. You put your brother into this situation, and you should have been looking out for your brother. But just my family is just not like that. It's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like with my family, it's like the way that we were taught. It's like we put everybody outside of the family before everybody else. So most of my family members are women, and it's like whatever the man says, they kind of enforce that. My uncle, he would go with the woman, whatever she said. So I never ever did that to my folks like that, but this is just what you're taught as a child. I've never done that. Like, for example, I remember when I was a teenager, and I remember and how my uncle, my sister, not my brother, because my brother didn't live with me at the time, but they would always be bringing these people over to sleep with in my grandmother's house. And I was like, you know, I had been on the, you know, had this date, this boyfriend that I dated for a while. And I wasn't, you know, I kept my business private. So it's like, anytime a guy that I dated, like we kept our business away from my family. Like they never knew who I was dating. Like, unless they would just see like somebody in the car dropping me off, or I would be getting off of a motorcycle or something like that. But like, I never brought people to my grandmother's house to fool around. Like that is like the ultimate disrespect. My grandmother never said anything about it, and she's passed away now, but she never like said nothing to them about it. And so there was this one time, like, you know, my sister would have people over, my aunt would have people over, my uncle would have people over. And it's like, when I had somebody over, I just had them as a guest. Okay. And it was getting late one time. It was like going on 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And we were just hanging out. I was not in the room. I was not fooling around. And we were just sitting on the couch. My grandmother, like, she was like, isn't it time for your guests to go home? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to leave right now. You know, but when it came to my sister and my uncle and my aunt, it was like, you know, they had these people living here. It was like Grand Central Station. You know, they had all these people. They would not they would not be spending money on motels. They'd be right in the room. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm like, I got to get out of here. I don't have time for this. This is embarrassing. But, yeah, that was just crazy. So my grandmother was very, she was very, what's the word? She wasn't like a strong Black woman, and she let a lot of stuff happen that shouldn't have happened, you know, a lot of bad stuff that happened. So I resented her for that. But, you know, it's like when it came down to her kids, like they could do no wrong. Okay. That's kind of how it was. So, you know, I didn't grow up in the best family, you know, dysfunctional family, hard times, you know, living in Brooklyn and seeing a lot of things that I shouldn't have seen as a child, broken glass, you know, grew up around, you know, the Brownsville Projects, people screaming, seen a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have seen, you know, when you're a little girl and you see all this stuff, it just looks normal to you. And then as you become a teenager, you're like, okay, well, I see it again. And it's like, okay, well, it's less of a shock because it's like, I've already been there, done that. You know, it's like I've already been indoctrinated with seeing all this horrible stuff. But my father always told me, he was like, what's around you doesn't have to be in you. He always told me that. So, and I just, you know, stayed in school and, you know, stayed focused and, you know, stayed motivated, stayed driven. You know, that's all that I could have done. All right. So anyway, like I said, you guys still looking to move out of the country. It's just, you know, there's so many things I got to do and so much red tape I got to do. And it's not as easy as people think it is. I mean, there's so many loopholes and so many things you got to accomplish, so many things that you have to do. But this country is getting worse and worse and worse. We keep seeing, you know, they just sent $95 billion to Ukraine. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again. They're going to be doing that till 2027. And like I said, they're putting restrictions on our free speech, of course. They've already been getting away with violating the Fourth Amendment via the Patriot Act. People have no idea. People don't even know what's in these bills. They don't pay attention, you know, to the stuff. So they don't know, you know, that was signed by former President Bush in 2001. So, and renewed in 2011 by Obama. So, but yeah, so organized contract stalking has been around since World War I, probably 1914 or something like that. But it's nothing new, you know. They're still targeting innocent Americans and following people, harassing people, you know, just doing all kinds of stuff. You know, that's just what they do. But yeah, I'm just trying to look for other countries to move into. I just wish I could just, you know, the way that you move to another state, you know, I just wish I could do that with another country. I wish I could do it that way. But I just, it's not, people keep saying how easy it is. And it's like, when you don't have money, nothing is easy, you know. But, you know, I'm over here low income struggling and, you know, it's tough. I can't even pay bills and trying to pay my rent, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to do so many things, you know, but I'm just tired of this country and I hate this country. I'm sorry. I really do not like America. I hate America. I would give up my United States citizenship in a heartbeat just to be somewhere else. I don't care. You know, I can't. It's just too much, you know. America is all about money, cars and houses and all that other stuff. And, you know, sometimes you just want to see, you know, natural beauty and who cares about dirt roads and all that other stuff. You know, I don't care about any of that. It's just about nice living, you know? So, but I'm still looking into countries to move into. And, like I said, South America is pretty much kind of where I'm kind of leaning to South America. I think the country was Bolivia, Bolivia was the country that I was thinking about moving into, and just seeing something else, seeing something, you know, cheaper, and just, you know, because the United States is expensive as hell. I mean, even right now, I'm on government assistance, right? And this right now, people can't afford to pay bills. People can't afford groceries. And, you know, I get food stamps, I get all that, and I'm still struggling. It's still tough. It is still tough, and it is still extremely difficult, folks. It's not as easy as people make it seem, you know? It's a struggle, and I just want to be in a place where, like, I'm not worrying about how to pay my rent. I'm not worrying about how to pay my bills. Oh, my God, how am I going to do this? Oh, my God, how am I going to do that? It's just that right there can be totally overwhelming to you, you know? And I want to fix that. I want to, you know, find somewhere where I'm not struggling like this, you know, and things are just much more affordable and it's just easier living, you know. So my only pet peeve is this. I don't want to go into like my apartment is like 600 square feet. I don't want to go into something like really, really small. And I looked at Thailand and I looked at a lot of other Asian countries, and you know, there's like $400 a month, but it's like the places are so tiny. It's like really itty bitty space. And I don't want that. You know, if I'm going to go to another country, I'm going to get like, I guess luxury, but I want it to be like affordable, if that makes any sense. You know, so that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, I don't want to leave the country and then go to some like shoebox apartment or something like that. But you want to spend less money on rent and have a lot more space, you know? And I said to myself, I said, I would never live in a big, gigantic house, but I probably would, just not in America. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And right now, it's just kind of a pipe dream. Right now, it's just kind of a fantasy. Hopefully, I'll try to make it happen. But a friend of mine said he was slept in his car, and he said he did it. And he, you know, moved to Bolivia, and he's happy that he left the United States. And I want to be one of those people that is going to be happy as well. But I'm willing and ready to do anything to make that happen. So hopefully I will one day. I'll get my chance. I'm Sierra Tavares Reyes. Have a great night, guys.
The Expressions Podcast has been brought to you by Anchor. Like what you just heard? Then please submit a small donation to sustain future episodes at anchor.fm/Sierra Tavares Reyes. Thank you.